God.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last Saturday, Kathy and I went to see the film Les Miserables. We'd seen the musical years ago in Pittsburgh on one of its first national tours after opening in 1985 in London. Les Mis has been performed now in 43 countries to over 60 million people, making it the world's longest-running musical. And the musical score soars and amuses and most of the time is hauntingly beautiful. But it is, of course, the story that is at the heart of Les Miserables, which means the miserable ones, the wretched ones, the poor ones. Victor Hugo set his novel in the France of the early 19th century, after the French Revolution, but at a time when France was once again ruled by a king. It is the story of Jean Valjean, who has spent 19 years in prison for stealing a loaf of bread for his sister's starving child. 19 years, not only of confinement, but of hard labor. 19 years that suddenly come to an end when Inspector Javert, who is to be Jean Valjean's nemesis throughout the story, announces that Valjean is to be freed on parole. But now and forever, Javert says, Valjean will have to produce the papers that clearly identify him as an ex-convict. Valjean leaves prison an angry, bitter man. No wonder, after being unjustly imprisoned for so long. His bitterness increases when he seeks work and, of course, has to produce those papers, and no one will hire him. Everyone turns him down because he's an ex-con. He has nowhere to stay, very little to eat, and has received not an ounce of human kindness. Hopeless, hungry, cold, he comes to a churchyard, tries to sleep in the corner, and Valjean is awakened by a lantern and the kind face of an elderly man who invites him into his home. It is a Catholic bishop who lives next door to the churchyard with his housekeepers. He invites Valjean to come in for a meal and to stay the night. Jean Valjean is suspicious and fearful, but his hunger overrides his suspicions. He greedily and speedily eats as much food as possible. And afterwards, the bishop gives him a bed, a real bed to sleep in. And Valjean watches as the housekeeper puts away the dinner silver in a cupboard. Night falls, but Valjean does not sleep. Instead, he arises from his bed after all the others have drifted off, and he steals as much silver from the cupboard as he can carry. And he goes out into the night. The next scene is the next morning when the police arrive. Valjean, in their possession, saying to the bishop, "Here's your silver. Here it is back again. We found it. This man stole it. He has the nerve, the police say. He has the nerve to say that you gave it to him. And the bishop replies, "That's right. That's right, I did give it to him." And to the astonishment of the police and the even greater astonishment of Jean Valjean, the bishop goes on to pull out two silver candlesticks and say, "And you forgot these, my friend. I gave these to you as well." And he hands the candlesticks to Valjean. And throughout the rest of the film, you will see Valjean taking very good care of those candlesticks wherever he goes, not because of their monetary value, but because they are the means of his redemption. Now, neither the police nor Valjean can believe what the bishop has done. From now on, Valjean will be a changed man. His life will never be the same. Now, here, at least for me, is where the movie offers a very different perspective, a very different experience than seeing Les Miserables on stage. When you're watching a play, you see everything from your seat in the theater. Wherever you are, everything is seen from that angle, from that perspective. But a film offers you changing perspectives and the opportunity to see faces in close-up. And when something is moving as fast and people are singing and speaking as fast as in Les Miserables, you can tell more in the film who's talking to whom, and you can read those nonverbal cues that are so important to human communication when you have that close-up of the actor's face that you might not see them on stage. So despite having seen the musical twice on stage, singing along with the CDs in my car on countless occasions, I have never really got the full impact of that scene that follows after the police have been dismissed by the bishop for having done their job, and the bishop now speaks to a shocked, shaken Jean Valjean, who stands before the bishop, wondering really what it is that's just happened to him. And the bishop there removes all doubt about what has happened. In a voice that is quiet, yet filled with powerful conviction, the bishop leaves no doubt about what he has done. He sings, "But remember this, my brother. See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have bought your soul for God." He's face to face with Valjean, eye to eye. "I have bought your soul for God." Throughout the rest of the story, Jean Valjean seeks to live up to the message that has been delivered directly to his heart. "I have bought your soul for God." Over and over again, you see Valjean facing situations, making choices with his life, and he faces them on that, with that conviction foremost in his mind and heart, that his soul has been claimed for God. He becomes the owner of a factory who genuinely seeks what is good for his workers and for the poor. He learns of a mentally ill convict who's been misidentified as himself, as the parole breaker, Jean Valjean, and he comes to court to admit that it's he who is Jean Valjean, even at the risk of going back to prison. And he promises to raise Cosette, the young daughter of one of his workers who has died of illness, promises to raise her as his own child. For the rest of the movie, it is both his duty and his joy to care for young Cosette and to live as one whose soul has been bought for God. It occurs to me that this is the meaning of baptism. That when we pour water over a child's head, we are claiming her soul for God. When a youth kneels for confirmation, the affirmation of baptism, we are claiming his soul for God. And when, as sometimes happens, we splash water on someone who is at least masquerading as a grown-up, we are claiming his soul for God. It changed Jean Valjean's life that moment. And if you really understand what it means to be baptized, it will change your life too. Are you sputtering along in life, listless, without focus, not really going anywhere? Are you putting in the time, punching the clock, getting by with the least possible effort? Remember that in the waters of your baptism, Christ says to you, I have bought your soul for God. Are you paralyzed by the past, captive to old grudges, holding those closest to you hostage, dangling either your approval or your forgiveness over their heads? Or are you a prisoner of your own shame, unable to escape your own guilt, seemingly bound forever by something you've done or left undone? Remember that in the waters of your baptism, Christ says to you, I have bought your soul for God. Are your days filled with your own preoccupation with amusement or entertainment or just doing what's necessary to get by, to get on to the next day? Are you spending any of your energy, your time, to make a difference in the life of another, to make a difference in some small corner of the world by seeking justice or truth or compassion? Do you see what you do as a father or mother, as a husband or wife, as a friend or neighbor, as one more item to check off that long list of things to do, or as a holy calling from the Lord? Remember that in the waters of your baptism, Christ says to you, I have claimed your soul for God. Today, when you get home, or perhaps tonight when you're about to go to sleep, think for a moment and see if it makes any difference that you are baptized. And listen this week for the sound of water, perhaps water from a faucet, perhaps water from a stream, perhaps water from the shower. And just see if in the midst of that sound you can hear Christ saying to you again, I have bought your soul for God. Pray with me. O Lord, the waters of baptism are the waters of life. And in them you have claimed each one of us for you. Help us to know it. To know it not just in our minds, but in our heart, in our bones, in our souls. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen.